Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Well, you know, the holidays are over. It's time to get out here and make some money.
I know it. And it kind of feels a little bit springish these last several days. It's been pretty nice. I mean, normally in January, we could see, you know, really cold temperatures, maybe a little snow here or there. Maybe a little icy conditions, or at least the threat of icy conditions. And man, I tell you what, temperatures in the 50s and 60s this weekend, next week back up into the 70s. Doesn't get much nicer than that for winter.
I think you've lost your mind.
I have.
I know. I mean, you have lost your mind thinking spring's on the way, and it is cold out. There has not been a day this week I could go without a coat. I mean, now you think it's wonderful, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just a little bit nippy out.
Yeah. Well, on Thursday, It was brilliant Thursday. A lot of us were walking around with no coat. I even saw people, because it was like 75 on Thursday, I saw people walking around in shorts.
Wow, I've missed this somewhere because I was not in shorts, and the wind was cold.
Yeah.
It wasn't cold per se, but the wind was.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know sometimes.
Well, I guess it's very different over in Dallas sometimes than it is in Midland. And
I think it must be because it was not that warm.
Yeah.
You know, and I think on Thursday, it was, you know, as I said, it was just that wind was cold.
Oh, it was brilliant here. Oh, so nice.
Well, I did not see anybody in shorts. I just want you to know that.
Oh, wow.
I know sometimes people are different.
No, well, that's true. That's true. Now, I have seen people in shorts, you know, when it is cold, like 30s and 40s. I've seen crazy people wear shorts during really cold weather, and that's not normal.
It is not normal. I've seen them at the grocery store. You know, when it's just a chilly out, and we've all got a jacket on, and they're in a dadgum shorts.
Yeah, yeah. The rest of us are bundled up like we live in the Arctic Circle, and they're all cruising around like they're in the Bahamas.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Life is interesting.
It is. I don't know how they do that, but God bless them for having the spirit.
That's right. So, anyway.
This is
your
Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And we vowed in 2020 to make sure that we give out the website a little bit more. It's American Financial Midland, and there's a wealth of information on wealth on the website. People can see the actual money that people have been making, and so they can get real figures. And really, I guess it could be almost inspiring, because when you look at profits that people have been making, it's absolutely crazy that in times where things can be so uncertain, people who have gotten out of Wall Street, and I know yesterday it went over 29,000, and so it was wonderful. However, we all know that what goes up must come down, and there's an awful lot of insecurities about things that are happening around the world, and so that's why a lot of people, from what it sounds like, are trying to find a more conservative alternative method to grow their wealth, to invest, and that's why I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you may be getting different feedback, it seems like that might be part of the reason why a life settlement is so attractive to so many people these days.
I think it is, because you know what you're going to make. You know everything about the contract when you go in. So there's not any surprises. You know, it's not like the surprise in Wall Street. A lot of the mutual fund companies folded this year in 19. So if everybody's making so much money, why did the mutual companies, some of them, fail? I don't understand it.
Huh.
You know, yeah, there was two or three that actually went under.
Really?
And some of them did not make money this last year, and then there was some that did make a lot. So, I'm confused. So, you know, our deal is just completely different. We just did a deal to see how much the company has profited for people, and a total of matured policies, we've had 203 total.
Really?
Yes. We've had a total gain during this time of $35,492,257.
Wow, that's incredible.
And we've had 203 claims. Claims paid to date were 192.
Wow.
And we've got 11 outstanding that are at the carrier right now.
And how this is like all everything in, like all the, as long as you've been doing this and all that, right?
That's right. Yes, total claims to date, 203 claims have been paid. Total claims outstanding is 11. And average day that it took to pay the claim, the average is 72 days.
Wow. That's pretty good.
And the average is 22%, and that's pretty good.
Wow, 22%. So people are making profits all over the place is really the bottom line.
The bottom line is they've made a lot of money, mostly IRAs, because most of our people, that's what they have. But, you know, that's a lot of claims paid, 203.
Yeah, it is.
And outstanding policies now. We've got a lot of policies in the hopper, and we've got a total, you know, under management of over $100 million.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of money.
These numbers are too big to ignore.
Well, it's too big for me to ignore. The policies under management are $97,821,989.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, $97 million.
Oh, my goodness. See, these numbers are almost too much to comprehend. They kind of goes out of our scope of, you know, relatability. And so, you know, when people are looking at alternatives and they're looking for things to invest in, then they're looking for, you know, safer ways, it sounds like this is paying off and has been paying off for years and years. And the great thing about a life settlement, people investing in life insurance policies, is that no matter what does happen, because everybody says that this bubble at some point is more than likely going to burst. And so at some point, things could happen. We've heard all the, you know, the stories that people are concerned that there may be another crash like 2008. You know, people are saying all these different things. You never know. But this is the talk of, on the street. And so if that was to happen, anybody that's in Wall Street risks losing really everything, potentially. People who are with you and invested in a life settlement are safe from all these things, right?
Well, I think that the nice thing about it is, not only is it in a life insurance policy, which I think that's very safe, you know that the size of the company, you know it's A-rated, you know they're huge companies. We're not out here doing business with some little company in Podunk, you know, and I'm always saying that. I think we can rely on these life insurance companies to always pay their claims.
Yeah.
So that's their protection versus being in the stock market, is you're dealing with a life insurance company that's going to pay off. Everybody that owns a life insurance policy, you know, they expect it to pay off when they pass away. So they know that a life insurance policy is a completely different investment.
It's I guess you could say it's almost not an open-ended thing, because, you know, you invest in other things or, you know, avenues or whatever, and things are a little bit open-ended. But with this, it seems like, okay, you know how much you're going to make, you know, approximately when you're going to make it, and it's just a matter of waiting. Do people come to you for the first time and say, Faye, this almost seems, you know, too good to be true. Don't I need to get up in the middle of the night and worry if I have anything left?
No. That, you know, the first things to ask is, of course, you know, how it works, what the risks are, you know, and so they always want to know all these things. And so we tell them up front how it works, you know, what we've got in there to protect them, you know, how it's going to work different than the stock market, that they're not going to have to get up in the middle of the night and check it. They don't have to get up at midnight and worry if it's went down, because a life insurance policy will never go down. They just don't, you know, whatever the face amount of that policy is, that's what you're going to get. That's what the insurance company is going to pay. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. They're not going to discount the policy. You're going to get paid exactly what you should.
So let's ask, answer that first question. How does it work? People are investing in a life insurance policy that somebody who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer needs to sell it. Because the treatment for stage 4 cancer is outrageous. What did you say, $100,000 a month?
It runs $100,000 or more per month now. Didn't used to, but it has gotten very expensive.
Wow. And so a lot of people look for other ways to pay for that. You know, sometimes people, you know, they have some in the bank and they go ahead and pay it. Insurance pays what they pay. And so, you know, you add all these things up and there's usually still larger bills than what people's accessible resources can handle. So the fastest way, I guess, to get a lump sum of money is to sell their life insurance policy, right?
That's exactly right. The fastest way to get money is to sell your life insurance policy. It doesn't take a long time, and you've got the cash. Like we had another maturity this week. It was a fairly small policy, $500,000. But again, this was somebody that really needed the money. It was ovarian cancer, and it paid off. Now, it went over, but it didn't go a lot over. And so, you know, it just paid off. That's another $500,000 for investors.
Wow. Just like that.
Yes. And so all the policies that we do, we know going in, you know, all the health, we know how long they've had the cancer. We know what the doctors say. And as I said, a lot of them come in early. A lot of them come in on time. And then there's some that will, you know, go over and the clients have to pay on it if it doesn't have extra. Sometimes we put an extra 10 months of escrow up. So that really helps.
Yeah, so that way if it does go over, they're not out of
They're not out any money usually.
Yeah.
But we do have that. You know, we try to keep the premiums low. We won't go over 3%. We try to keep it below that where that the people, no matter what, it's not going to cost them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we do this, it's at page 14. It's now at the back of the contract instead of on page 14. But it tells them what the face amount is, what kind of cancer it is, how much they're going to make, what the percentage is. It tells them if it goes over, what it will cost them. And they need to know all that. That's really important that they know everything. They also have got the life expectancy that tells when they went to the doctor, when it was discovered, and how much treatment they've had. And it says, you know, it is progressing. It is a progressive cancer. If it says it's not, we're not going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get one, and right down there in the middle, it says no sign of disease. Well, then we have to throw that one aside.
Yeah, yeah, because you're not just buying any old policies. The goal here is to buy policies that you know are going to be profitable in a fairly short amount of time. Is that quick return and a chance to, you know, you get the ROI and then you reinvest it? Is that what one of the things that people really like about this is how quick it is?
Yes, they love that. And they love if they're getting ready for retirement 5 or 6 years, that they'll be ready, that we're going to reinvest and reinvest. Now, we've had several clients pass away in 19 unexpectedly. Well, their wives are now in charge of their portfolios. And one wife said, "Faye, I never paid attention. I didn't know what her investments were in. And now I've got to catch up. I've got to learn how to do this." And that's unfortunate, but sometimes, you know, men are like, you know, they want to be the protector of the wife, and they don't want her to have to worry. They don't want her to have to be involved. And then, if they pass away unexpectedly, the wife is thrown into this all of a sudden. And men should think about that. They should tell them how it works, how much money they have invested, how the profit, you know, is, and how they will get paid if something happens to them.
You know, that's kind of overwhelming.
A few men just don't do it.
I would think, you know, just having to, you know, if something was to happen to the husband and the wife has to step in and kind of get caught up, I would think that would be an overwhelming situation.
It is. It's pretty overwhelming. And they're going, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. And one lady told me these men are coming out of the woodwork, you know, wanting to give her advice. And she said, "I know they're just trying to take my money."
Uh-oh. Yeah, you see, that's another thing people have to be careful of.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to use your gut. You know, if your gut tells you that they're after your money, just back off. You know, and like she said, "I'm not going to do anything right now." I said, "Do not do anything. First of all, on an inherited IRA, you're going to have to take minimum distributions out of that, but you can do it at your age. So you've got to keep some cash in there for that besides the investing. So if you did, and like the ladies told me this week, we're going to go on just like my husband had it set up with you. Okay. You know, we're not rocking the boat.
So if somebody finds themselves in that situation, you're there to help guide them through it and explain what is what and really kind of handle things going forward as well, right?
That's exactly right. And to explain how it's going to work. And when they have any questions, all they have to do is call me or come by the office, and I'll sit down and go over it with them. Also, they need to know how. Some of them said they don't even know how to use a computer. They were stay-at-home mothers, and they didn't spend their time, you know, learning how to read all these statements. So that's something else they have to learn how to do.
You know, sometimes when somebody's in a situation like that and they have to call a far-off, you know, 800 number and just get a representative on the phone and they kind of get passed around a little bit, I'm sure that is a situation where people, you know, easily feel like they're ignored or somebody's not out for their best interest. But I would think that would be one of the great things about what you do is that, you know, people can actually talk to you. They don't get lost and transfer from department to department. You're actually there personally to help guide them.
Well, remember, when we're calling Chicago or New York or somewhere, they do not know us.
Yeah.
And us Texans are a little bit different. I mean, we're just a little different breed than those people are.
In a good
way. They're very matter-of-fact, cold, and they're not really warm personalities to deal with. Let me put it that way. Yeah. I'm being nice.
I know. I know you're being very nice. You're exercising a lot of restraint.
I did. I had to restrain myself and count to 10. But when people are dealing with us, you know, they can always call me. Most everybody has my cell phone number.
Really?
You know, it's right on our card.
Oh, my.
How many people have the personal cell phone number of somebody in a company? Most of them do not. You know, you call them between 9 to 5. That's it. It's over and out. They're not going to help you any other time.
Yeah.
People call me sometimes on weekends, or they'll call me at night even.
Yeah.
And I always take the calls.
See, that speaks volumes. You know, I mean, we talk about the money all the time. We talk about the profits and everything like that. But, you know, just to have a pleasant experience, knowing that somebody actually is a real person and has their financial wealth as their best interest or their best interest in mind, that's got to be, it has to say things. I would think that would be one of those priceless advantages of dealing with you and really everybody over there. I mean, everybody from you to Claudia to everybody else in the office. I would think that would be one of the really great things that people love as well.
I think they do. And the other thing is Claudia is always at the office, and everybody comes by and talks to Claudia. When we have contracts to sign, she sends them out. They come to the office. They sign them. She has a lot of contact with all of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another good feature. You know, they don't have to send something to somewhere far away. It's just right there in Midland.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So everything's right here.
I've had a lot of questions, you know, for things in the past, you know, for the show and things like that, and Claudia's all over it. She's right, you know, she gets back to me in a real quick hurry. She has an answer. If she doesn't, she'll find it out and get back to me real quick. She's really great. I mean, she's priceless. You're lucky to have Claudia.
I am lucky. And then when you consider the Dallas office, they're all accountants. You know, we employ only accountants because this is financial. We need somebody that can add and subtract and do all kinds of things, you know. They have to be able to run the spreadsheets. They have to do all these percentages for me. Everything we do is either a percentage. And so people have to know how to do that. And they have to get the numbers right.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to get through.
No, it isn't. And they're doing figures every day. They're doing our monthly statements for clients. A lot of people don't know that. We have to figure out if there's premium due, who owes it, how much it is. We have to send out the premium notices. So accounting is working every minute for the client.
You know, because people, when it comes to investing, when it comes to planning for retirement, when it comes to all these things, if not everybody is, you know, a financial expert. Not everybody understands what retirement is all about. Not only getting prepared for it and planning for it, But also, once you get to the retirement stage, a lot of people just think, well, you know, we're going to turn you out on a loose and you go travel the country, get in your RV and drive around for a couple of years, take a cruise, whatever you want to do. And it's just la-di-da. But it's not that way, because especially, I would say, probably after retirement, it would be more important to make sure that you keep growing your money, because you don't have that steady paycheck. You don't want to just, you know, hemorrhage all of your savings and then have to go back to work when you're 75. And so you're there to personally guide them through it, put them on a plan, let them know, hey, you know, might be spending a little bit too much. Or when they think, you know, hey, how much do I need to plan to spend each year to stay on track, to make sure my money lasts? You're there to help them figure out. It can be very intimidating. So it's great to have you there. You know, and speaking of planning, how much do people know when an average person comes in? Do people already have an idea of where they need to be financially, or do you really spend
a lot
of time
helping? They're looking to see where they are. Now, I've had several calls this last week from people that are semi-retired, and they're ready to do something. They want to make a change. They've also lived next door to some of my customers. So, you know, they've learned a lot. And what they did, which I think is real nice, they went and they looked up life settlements, and they looked up which kind of life settlements there are, and they realized there's about four different ways to do this. And, of course, they picked our way because it works better. It's not like a mutual fund. You know, the mutual funds do it completely different. You know, they pay out just a smaller amount, like 8%. That's what a mutual fund company usually pays. And they're not going to pay more. And they're doing long-term. They're doing 5 to 7 years. And that reminds me, one of the big mutual companies in Texas that's always outbid us if they want to, they're the one that has that $139 million a year to play with, their parent company has stopped them and said, we're not going to invest anymore. Well, what it is, they did those long-term policies. They're not going to, their cash flow is not going to come due for years. You know, that 5 year and 7 year, now it has hit them in the head, and they go, oh my gosh, we'll have no income coming in for 7 years.
Now, that's got to be great news for you.
I think it is, because what happened this week, one of our providers called and said, Faye, that policy that you bid on, that other company can't pay. They don't have the money to buy the policy.
Really?
And, of course, we stepped in and bought it.
Wow.
First time that they have not had the money to close a deal.
That speaks volumes.
And we bid against them for years, and if they wanted it, we always lost because they're so huge. And the parent company just said, no, no more money.
Wow.
And so they didn't have the money to close the deal. We've already closed the deal, and we're signing up our clients.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
It is, because now, unless they get the parent company to put up more money, we won't have that stick in the eye. We won't have them, you know, always getting the bid when we want it. And there was a lot of big policies last year. We bid, and they outbid us.
Does this lend itself to the, because I know in the last couple of years, it seems like you would talk a lot about how at the beginning of the year, like first quarter, maybe second quarter, I'm not really sure, but I know definitely first quarter, these big companies come in and they have all this huge money to spend, and they tend to, I guess, blow it at the first part of the year, which can kind of block a few, or outbid, as you would say, outbid you from getting some of these policies. Does this mean that it opens up you to take advantage and get potentially more policies earlier?
A lot more, yes. I believe unless they change, all those policies they've always got ahead of us, they will not be anybody in first place. I think we will be in first place this year to get all these policies. I think we'll do a lot, several million dollars more than last year, because they won't be always bidding against us. That's one bidder we won't have, and we can outbid the others because we're bigger than the others, but we were not bigger than them, and everybody knew it, including me.
Well, you know, when your main competitor drops out of the race, I mean, it's almost like, man, this is just like, what? This is almost like taking candy from a baby at this point.
It is, and it's a wonderful feeling, and of course, our provider, you know, immediately told us They had come to him and said, we want to buy that policy, but we don't have any money right now.
Wow.
And they asked him if he would buy it for him. He said, no, I won't buy it for you. And he called us and he says, you're getting the bid.
Wow.
And I go, my gosh. So we've sent it. We've got the contracts. I've already signed them. We're sending them to the carrier.
So it's already a done
deal. Yeah. And we were just lucky that it worked out this way. But, you know, we don't do 5 and 7 year policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they were doing was real long term, and they thought it would work. But you've got to have that cash flow. And the clients are not going to have cash flow if it's 5 or 7 years away. They're going to be just sitting there waiting.
Wow.
So eventually the parent company said, we don't have the cash flow either. So it's turned things around for us, and I love that.
Yeah, no doubt. So they stuck to these long-term policies, stuck to their guns for years. You stuck to your short-term policies for years, and they quite simply just ran out of gas, and they stalled out, and they're done now.
They're done. And they're huge, but they're done, so it doesn't make any difference, does it?
Awesome. What a great way to start 2020.
It is a great way to start 2020. So we... And not only are we having a lot of maturities, but now we'll have a lot more policies for people to put money in.
So to translate this to people who have never invested in a life settlement before, if they've never done it, this is the time because the door is wide open for new policies.
It is. And we will be taking new clients. Lots of times, you know, we'll say, you know, we don't want any new clients right now. But now we will be taking new clients and new money. And our other clients will be adding money to their portfolios because we're going to be able to give them a lot more policies this year.
Wow.
And so that's a great feeling.
Yeah, it is. Goodness gracious. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
I can hear the passion in your voice. You're wanting to say something good about him. I know I can feel it.
I love to do that.
That's your favorite place in the whole world. So when we talk about these investments and we talk about, you know, all the amazing money that people can make, we talk about, you know, the personal service that you give to people, we talk about all these amazing opportunities. What is the downside? Because somebody's got to be thinking, man, this is just hitting on all cylinders. There's got to be another shoe that's going to drop. So what is it? Is there one?
Well, your biggest risk is it can go over. And that's the first risk I tell everybody about. They always say, well, what is the downside? What are my risks? The risk is it could go over, it could go a couple of years over, whatever. And you will have to pay some premium, you and other people together. That's your risk. The second risk is it's not liquid till they matures. And everybody realizes that. If you put your money in a life policy, we have to wait till it matures. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever got in trouble. We've never had a life company in Texas not pay a claim. And as I said, they've got so huge amounts of premium income, anybody would buy the policy. They would buy the company if they could get their hands on it.
Yeah.
And that's why they just don't become available.
And I think it's interesting when we talk about the reserves that they have to put up versus a bank. Can you review that real quick?
They put up a lot more reserves than a bank. A bank has hardly no reserves up on your accounts. They're not required to. But years ago, they said every life insurance company has got to have reserves on every policy they write. And you've got to be able to pay those claims. So years ago, they could not invest in anything that wasn't liquid. In other words, it had to be bonds. It had to be things that they wouldn't even let them for years invest in real estate. And they had to have a separate company to own their real estate, like their office building, because they wanted it to be almost completely liquid. And so that's different than a bank. And that's why insurance companies have so much money, because their premiums are just stacking up and stacking up.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but do they have, if every single life insurance policy that they had came due today, they've got the money on site to pay it?
Yes, they have it where they can just cash it in and pay claims.
Wow.
And they used to, and now that it's changed some, because all these years they've always figured there's a percentage that will drop them, and this happens every year. People are going along, oh, I don't want to pay the premiums anymore, and they let them lapse. But now, instead of lapsing them, they're selling them. Some companies will just buy it, even though there's nothing wrong with them. And that's another thing that's going to hurt them in the end, because they have no income off that life policy, and they're paying premiums on it.
Mm.
But sometimes they'll do that. But it's turned around a lot, because now the life insurance companies say, you know, we better be trying to buy those policies ourselves if they're sick. And people are saying, no, they won't give them but 20 cents on the dollar.
Really?
Yeah, and they won't give them very much. Anybody will give them more than the life insurance company.
Hmm. You know, we talk about the biggest risk being the fact that it could go over and people would have to pay premiums. We also talk about the fact that, like you said, it's not liquid. So if something were to come up, if someone, you know, they needed a fast influx of cash, they wouldn't be able to get it. But it doesn't really seem to be a factor for most investors, because in order to do this to begin with, you have to be accredited. And so that usually is not even a problem. But what does it mean to be accredited?
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without your house. Mm-hmm. So when people call us, we go over the figures. I tell them if you've got ranches, it's covered. You can add that in. If you've got warehouses, if you've got rent houses, cattle, horses, you know, whatever you have. If you've got an IRA and you've got a 401k, add it up. See if you qualify. And we had a gentleman the other day did not think he was qualified. We sent him home and said, go add it up. He called back. He is qualified. And then we had another thing. We had somebody a year ago that was not qualified. So they were over there on that non-qualified list, which it's very limited how they can invest. And that person is now qualified. They're now worth that $1 million threshold.
Really? So they grew their wealth, reached
that
threshold.
They grew their wealth. So they should always go and add up their assets when they're thinking about coming in and see what they do have. If they're already a client and they're not qualified now, add up your assets, see if it's increased enough where we can switch you over to accredited.
Now, these guidelines are for individual investors. Do you have many, like joint investors? Is that even possible? Is that a thing?
Sure, a husband and wife. Lots of them do come in together. If it's a husband and wife, they have to make $300,000 together, the two of them, or steal that $1 million threshold.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit different, but it's still basically the same.
It's basically the same.
Okay. Cool.
In order to be accredited.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And I hope we give it enough that people can write it down.
I know.
You know, I told you about the gentleman in his pickup a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
He was trying to write it down, and we weren't giving it that.
Yeah.
And he got out of his pickup, then we start giving it. He's trying to jump back in the pickup to write it down.
Well, we'll give it out a couple more times between now and the end of the show. So if somebody's not ready, get ready and stand by, and we'll give it out some more. Let's get into trivia. Let's take a break from finances for just a second, because every Saturday morning we always get into trivia, and you bring interesting topics to the table. So what are we talking about this morning?
The magnificent courthouses of Texas.
Oh, I love courthouses. You know how you walk into a courthouse and you can just smell the legalness? Isn't that cool?
It's right. And the old ones have so much character. They're so magnificent. Most people don't know that there was a man named Riley Gordon, 1800s. He came to Texas. First, he went to work for the railroads in the engineering department at 14 years old.
14? Isn't that illegal?
Well, it wouldn't have been back then. We had no laws.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, everything. Everybody was on their own. And so Riley, then he went to work for an architect and as a draftsman. And then in 1884. By this time, he knew how to draw. So what he would do, he would either take the railroad around Texas, or he'd get in his buggy, and he would go out and show people these towns, all these municipalities, what he could do. He'd show them drawing samples. And so he designed 18 courthouses in Texas.
Holy smokes, 18.
And the most beautiful one, I think, is in Waxahachie.
Really?
And, yeah, I think it's one of the most outstanding. And when James Michener wrote Texas, the movie and the novel Texas, he said, the one in Waxahachie, Texas, it's a pink and gray granite building. It's a fairy tale palace. It's 10 stories high. It's replete with battlements, turrets, spires, and soaring clock towers.
Really?
It has miniature castles high in the air. It is a bejeweled treasure, and it really is. I've seen it many times. Waxahachie has one of the most beautiful courthouses in all of Texas.
Wow, it sounds magnificent.
It is, and the granite is two-color. You know, it's pink, it's kind of white. And all these courthouses that Riley designed, he designed them to be cool. He figured all this way to get the hot air to go up and away from people where it would be cool in the summer. I mean, he did a lot of great work, and most people don't realize that everything Riley Gordon did, we now have. Now, a lot of the old courthouses, they've become museums or they've tore them down, but Waxahachie stands out is one of the most magnificent ones we've got. And then he went to New York. He went on farther, and he won all these awards for his courthouses. And the other one that is one of my favorites is Decatur.
Really?
They did four different ones out in Decatur. But it is magnificent. And the third one was destroyed by fire in 1895.
Oh, no.
And the other one set up a controversy. They said, well, we're just going to move the courthouse. And, of course, they had an election, and they did not move it. It's been there ever since. And, and of course, when Riley Gordon did it, he said he'd take 5% of the construction cost, and he constructed it for about $110,000.
Wow.
And that was it. Yeah. In 1895, and it's just amazing to me. It was $110,000 in 1895.
Wow!
And everybody compares it to the one over there in Waxahachie, and the two, I guess, are the prettiest two that he ever did. And it's very Romanesque, revival architecture. And Riley Gordon was just a genius in his own time. You know, I mean, 18 courthouses, and I don't know how you could design them this great in the 1800s.
You know, plus to make them comfortable so that the hot air goes up and away from people. I mean, to even think about that is fascinating, and then to make it happen is something else.
And almost everything he did was on the courthouse square. You know, that was what he liked to do. So then they built the rest of the downtown usually around that courthouse.
Wow.
And, of course, this is really the only two I know of that are this magnificent that are still in, still here. And people tried to tear the one in Decatur down, and they did not allow it.
Good.
And then there was another one in South Texas, and they gathered all these signatures and kept it from being tore down also. Some genius was going to tear it down and do something else. And the people stood up and said, no, you know, we're not going to let that happen. And the petition was 13 foot long.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was like a big scroll.
Oh, my.
And it had 661 county residents. They wanted it to remain. They didn't want it to. And that was in Victoria. And it's a very pretty one. And it's one of the 12 surviving courthouses that Riley Gordon designed, and that was from 1889 to 1902. And it's just amazing to me what all they designed.
Wow.
It's
amazing.
People should go and visit these, you know, while we still have them. I don't know how many years, you know, we'll have these beautiful courthouses, but we only have 12 left.
Wow. I'm glad that at least some of them are being, you know, recognized and being preserved. Because once they're gone, you know, when they tear them down, they tear them down. There's no getting them back. There's no chance to go back and revisit these things. And so I'm glad that some people are standing up and you know, petitioning to keep them around.
Well, and Riley Gordon was way ahead of his time. I mean, he was just a very young man when he started designing these courthouses, and the knowledge he had and the beauty. It was like Jane Michener said when he wrote the book Texas. You know, the one in Waxahachie was one of the most magnificent buildings he had ever seen. And, of course, he didn't see it till the 60s. But, like he said, it was a fairy tale palace. And,
wow.
And it really is. 10 stories tall in 1800s.
That's amazing. 10 stories.
10 stories tall with a clock tower at the very top.
That has to be, I mean, even I could almost put myself back in that time because there was a, you know, there were buildings that maybe two stories, you know, you'd have a feed store in the bottom and, you know, something else up on the second floor. But to go 10 stories is, that had to have been a feat of, I don't know what you call it, but something that blew people's minds.
It really did. And some of them had gargoyles, which were just amazing.
Yeah.
The faces on the gargoyles, you know, that they put up. It's just an amazing thing to me. And he did some commercial buildings. He did some other things that were, you know, really magnificent. But I still think the courthouses of Texas, you know, is the best. And McLennan County, it has a dome and all different things. That's, you know, Waco, and it's a gorgeous thing. I think it looks like it's French to me.
Really?
It really looks French, yes. It's a gorgeous building, completely different than the other one.
Yeah.
But his design is just so far ahead of itself. You know, it's just, I can't imagine.
I know it. And you were mentioning gargoyles. That's one of the things I love about San Antonio is the gargoyles. You know, you go down the Riverwalk and you can see all kinds of gargoyles on the architecture. And I would imagine probably back then it would have been one of those things that maybe not intimidating, but it comes across as, you know, this is a very important building. Do not, you know, don't take it for granted. You're not walking into a casual ice cream shop. There's something special here.
That's right. And a lot of the things, like you say, in San Antonio are very, very old, like the Menger Hotel even.
Yeah.
You know, they were way, way years ago. And they became famous. And thank goodness, in San Antonio, they have kept everything, I believe. I haven't seen anything they've torn down.
That's amazing. That's the thing, because, you know, you can't get history back. And so any chance to go back into it, if you're really open to it, you know, you can almost put yourself in the place of people who had gone through there and gain a little bit of life perspective from their point of view. And it's different when you're in it because, you know, back then they didn't know that we would have all the things we have today, you know, cell phones and, you know, fancy cars and, you know, and all these things. They had no idea. And so to them, when you walk into one of these buildings, that was that was the latest and the greatest, and it's very different perspective than what we have today.
And what amazes me, downtown Dallas, John Bryan was the guy that discovered Dallas, and his little cabin is there on the lawn by the courthouse.
Really?
Yes. And Dallas is very, very big into preservation and restoration. And the old—it's called Old Red. Is what the courthouse is called there, the old courthouse downtown Dallas. And they've preserved it and kept it. And it actually has the stairway and an elevator. And the old elevator's rickety as heck. You don't want to get on the elevator if you can help it. But the stairs, you know, are very, very old. The building is very old. It's a smaller structure. It's not as beautiful as some of the others, but they have preserved it.
good. And I assume it's one of those buildings that you walk in and you can smell the old law books. You can smell, you know, the marble and the old wood and all
these
things.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man, that is so great.
And everybody should visit these while we still got them. You know, everybody's building everything new and modern and shiny, and you don't even know it's a courthouse.
I know. I know.
It looks so
like
modern now. Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And what kind of information can people find when they go to your website at AmericanFinancialMidland.com?
They can find everything. It tells you what people have been making, what percentage they made, whether it came in early, whether it came in late, you know, what the facts are. It tells everything.
Okay. Now, just before trivia, you kind of alluded a little bit to the fact that people who are not accredited for a life settlement program, they have limited options, but there are other options, and people can use these other options to grow their wealth, get to that point where they're accredited, and then switch over to a life settlement. So how do you recommend people go ahead and build their wealth to get there?
Well, they can do an annuity. You know, they've been around for over 100 years. Annuities, I think, are very safe. If you get the right one, it pays very well. You know, the companies that we use have paid very well. I looked at a lady's deal yesterday. She has two annuities with us. The first one she took out in 07 while she was still working, and she put $38,000 in it. It's now worth $68,000.
Wow.
So that's not bad.
That's amazing.
It is collected $26,000 in interest.
That is fantastic.
So, you know, this company pays better than all the others, I think. And, you know, I've got lots and lots of clients that have annuities. And I've never had one of them say, I don't like my annuity or I want to take my money out. Mm-hmm. If they have this particular annuity, they're going to stay with it because it pays well. The percentage is good, and they have all kinds of things that other companies don't. It is like when you get ready to take your money out at the end of 7 years or 10 years, you can walk away. It's called a walk away. You can walk away. With other companies, you have to take a payout. You can't just grab your money and go. And with this company, you can take your money out at the end of the period, 100%, no questions asked. Or you can go ahead and say, well, I'll start taking 10% a year out or a you know, a definite amount every year. You can do that. It's flexible. And the other thing is if you have an emergency, in 3 years, if you had an emergency, you can take it all out.
Really?
So you would only get your money back. But if you had an emergency and had to, you could do it. You cannot do that with any other company that I know of.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yep. So I love the way they work. They're worth $57 billion.
Whoa!
I was looking at companies this week, and a lot of these B-rated companies that just advertise are going to pay you, you know, huge amounts, they're worth like $900 million.
Really?
They're not even worth $1 billion.
Wow.
So people should think about that. And nothing may happen. It may be great. But I know that if you've got a company that's worth $57 billion, I don't believe you've got a thing to worry about when they're 100 years old.
Yeah, yeah, there's a solid foundation, and you know that there's enough resources there to take care of just about anything they wanted to.
That's right. They can take care of anything that comes up. They're very reliable. As I said, I've done business with them for 15, 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I find that they pay well, and that's what we're – it's all about getting money for the customers. How well does it pay? And it pays well.
It's about making money. It's about, you know, trying to find more conservative ways of investing. And I think that's the whole point of maybe some people at least taking some of their money out of the stock market, because you never know. Anything could happen at any time. People could have another 2008. You just don't know. Or even if that doesn't happen, don't you say that you talk to a lot of people that are in the stock market? Maybe they haven't lost a lot, but they're not making a lot either.
I have that happen all the time, and everybody tells me about all the Dow going up so high, and all these people, you know, make all this money, and if they're making all this money, Why are we not seeing it? You know?
Yeah. And so people are looking for other alternatives, and that's why they come over to you. They get into the life settlement, but they should know that this is not something that you know, is all of a sudden going to blow up overnight, and they're not going to, you know, double their assets. They're not going to double their wealth in a hurry. This is a strategy. This is a plan that you put together to get ready for retirement, and even after retirement, you know, keep investing, keep making more money. But getting to retirement, this is a strategy. So people should go in. How should they look at this? Should they look at, you know, in 3 years I'll be ready, in 15 I'll be ready? How should they go in?
Well, it depends how much they start investing. If they've got a portfolio of 300,000 or 5 or 1 million, it's going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So it depends what number we're trying to get to before retirement. We know 300,000 is not going to last you 20 years.
No.
We know if it's 300,000, we've got to work hard in order to get enough for you to retire on. If you've got 500,000, it'll be a little better. If you've got 1 million, it'll work even better because we don't have to raise as much money. Or that we'll be able to put you in more policies. The more policies we have, the better it's going to work. You need to be diversified. You can't come in and do one policy. You can't put all your money in one policy. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Do most people have a grasp when they come see you? Before they come see you, do they have an idea of where they stand financially, or are most, or are, you know, people kind of like not really sure, not even know what questions to ask even?
No. When people come, they ask what they know about, and then they say, tell me how what I need to know, you know?
So people don't need to have they don't need to be a financial genius to invest in their own future. They just need to, you know, be open, and here's what we are, and here's where we need to be, and here's the trajectory that's going to get us there. It's really that simple.
That's exactly right. Because remember, it's not like something real complicated you're trying to figure out. It's simply a life insurance policy on people that are very ill. And that we're buying it, and they're going to make the difference. That's what people want to know. How do I make the profit? It's the difference between what the face amount is and what we paid for it. That's your profit, the difference between what we paid for it and the face amount. And when the people pass away, you're going to get the face amount of the policy. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. They don't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's how you know you're going to get paid. It's from an insurance company. It's not from us. It's from the insurance company. And remember, we don't talk about it enough, but Nevada Trust acts as a trustee. They have all the money escrowed for payments, for premiums, and they get the certified death certificate and put it in your account when the people pass away. So that's your safety features right there.
Do people, and this is an odd question, I know I've never asked this before, but do people come to you and say, Faye, I've had so many friends or colleagues or coworkers or neighbors or family members or whatever say that they've made so much money, I want to get into this because I feel like I'm missing out on something cool. Do people ever have that kind of reaction?
Well, what they say is, my neighbor is in it, I've talked to them, I know how much money they've made, and I would like to get in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll say, somebody at work has been with you 3 or 4 years, I've heard them talk about their profit and their policies maturing. I'd like to do it. I'd like to come and talk about it. And they will. Or sometimes they'll call and say, I've got a lot of questions. Would you call me back and answer all these questions? And we do.
Do people have to, because when they look at page 14, I know this is, we talked about how well informed this investment is. They know what they're going to make. They know basically when they're going to make it and things like that. We talked about also the medical side of the policy holder, you know, the kind of cancer that they have, you know, where it is, you know, the treatments that they've had. Is all this in plain English, or do people have to have some kind of medical knowledge ahead of time?
No. A lot of times people don't understand all of it, but if they don't, they can call me. We'll go over it. You know, we've been doing it a long time. So, you know, we know what we're looking for. We can tell them what we're looking for on that policy. When we look at it, we want to see progression. We want to see that it's worth. If they've gone to hospice, it's important. If they're on a 10 as far as pain, that's important. All these factors determine when they're going to pass away.
Okay. And one last question before we go. I know a lot of people say, you know, man, this really sounds like a win-win situation. It sounds like a lot of people are making a lot of money. It's really conservative. I like it. It sounds like a great way to not only get ready for retirement, but, you know, keep generating income even after retirement because nothing has to change from day to day. But I may have waited too late. So, Faye, when somebody comes to you and says, "Golly, I haven't, you know, done anything. I'm in my upper 40s, near 50, maybe early 50s. I've waited too long. Can I still do this?"
That's not true. If they're 40 or 50 years old, they got plenty of time.
Okay.
If you're 80 years old, you have no time.
All right. So, what about availability for appointments? Are you open this week?
No, I'm going to have my eye done this week.
Really?
So it will be week after next, and then we'll be busy Monday through Friday.
Great.
So everybody, I know everybody's going to stack up, but that's all right. We'll do that week after next.
All right. Well, congratulations on having your eye. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. So we're going to get that done.
So one last time, Faye, for people to go ahead and plan ahead and make an appointment to come see you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.